So from now until when Lent begins, in just a couple more weeks, we're going to hear from the Gospel of St. Mark on Sundays. It's the first gospel written. It's the shortest gospel. There's no buildup in Mark. He doesn't have time for angels visiting Mary and Joseph. There's no shepherds. There's no magi. There's no Jesus getting lost in the temple. Jesus just kind of explodes onto the scene after a really brief time of hearing from John the Baptist. And Jesus, when he comes on the scene, he gets right to work. So I better get right to work tonight. All right? So three things from tonight's gospel. Three moves I want to talk about. First, the announcement that Jesus makes, and then two callings. All right? So the announcement he makes, and then two callings. So first, Jesus announces what is going on. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's what's happening when he shows up on the scene. This is the time of fulfillment. So let's open that up a little bit. When Jesus uses, when he says the word time, this is the time. There's a unique phrase in the Greek, because Greek has more than one word for time. The word that Jesus uses is kairos. When you think about time normally, like what time is your class tomorrow morning, you're thinking about chronos, not kairos. Chronos is measured time. Kairos is a time. This is the time. And that's what Jesus means when he says, this is the time of what? Of fulfillment. All that God has promised, it's now happening. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's what's happening. That's a new message then for the people. What does that announcement mean? It means that something radically new has broken in, that the reign of God, the rule of God, the kingdom of God has come. And you'd say, well, where is the kingdom? Where are its borders? Where is its army? How do you know the kingdom of God has come? And Jesus says, because it's me. Because I'm here. Because actually, I am the time of fulfillment. I am the reign and the rule of God now come among you. God's power breaking into the world. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Get ready. Well, how do we get ready? What's the first move then? Well, the first of Jesus's two calls tonight. The first call is this: repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance, friends. Why does Jesus start his preaching with that word, repent? Why doesn't he say, hey, everybody, be nice to each other? Hey, we'll all be unified. All we have to do is just say yes to, you know, some social norms or something like that. Be good to each other. Be kind. Well, because Jesus is a realist. And he lives in realities. And the reality is this, that the kingdom of God crashes up against a different kingdom. It's the kingdom of sin and the slavery that belongs to those who are subjugated to it. And so it's not going to be an easy path for Jesus. The kingdom of God forces decisions. And so Jesus' first word is repent. He has to say that because we're all stuck in our sins. We're all stuck in our sins, and we have to get unstuck. And really, the first move is that we actually have to realize that we are stuck. That, by the way, friends, is the great problem with our current culture. Because the current culture doesn't want to acknowledge that we're stuck in sin. In fact, it goes to great lengths to normalize sin or even celebrate it. But that's a problem. And Jesus has to address the problem. And the church addresses the problem. That's why in a few weeks we'll start the great holy season of Lent. That's why at Mass we start by acknowledging our sins, to say, I am stuck. I actually need to repent. But friends, listen, that repentance, normally we think of it in terms of a negative. Repent means don't do something. What Jesus says there, the verb that he uses is metanoiete, you all repent. Well, metanoia in the Greek means literally to go beyond the mind that you have, meta and nous, to go beyond the mind that you have. That repenting, yes, it has an aspect of not doing certain things, but more than a restrictive call, it's an expansive call. Repent, go beyond what you think, because that's the reality. Sin is restrictive. Sin enslaves us, and every one of us, when we square up to our sinfulness, we know that. We know it to be true. Sin restricts us, it constricts us, it enslaves us. And so Jesus wants to deal with it. And the first way that he has to is to get us to acknowledge that we actually need him. We need him not just as a friend, not just as an affirmer of ourselves, but as a savior. It's what his name means, Yeshua. Yahweh is salvation. God saves, saves us from our sins. And that's the first call. But then, great, how do we repent? Well, the second call in this short gospel is discipleship. Jesus sees the first apostles, Peter and Andrew, and then James and John, and he says, come after me. Come after me. Now, the me is crucial, because how do we get unstuck from our sinfulness? Not by our own efforts. And tons of us have tried, and tons of you try to unstick yourself. But it doesn't work. And so Jesus says, come after me. A personal encounter with the living God come among us. Come after me. He is the one who sets us free from our sins. Not just his teaching, not just knowledge about him, but him. That's why for every one of us, we have to come into a deep and abiding personal relationship with Jesus. We have to come to know him, not about him, not just his teaching, but to know him as a real person and as our real Lord in a very personal and unique way. That he loves me, that he knows me, that he's inviting me to come after him. And for anyone who's never met Jesus, none of the teachings that he gives make any sense. They all fall apart. And that's certainly the case now. The teachings of the church make no sense to someone who doesn't know God. No sense. And so they'll just rage against the teaching, because they haven't met the teacher. Now, Jesus says, come after me. Getting close to him changes the game. It's the game changer. But here's the rule of the game. Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. That's the rule, that God makes us. One of the deepest and most important things we need to repent from and turn away from in this culture is this crazy notion of self-creation or self-invention. What do I mean by that? It's this idea that we're fundamentally in charge of fashioning ourselves according to our own whims and desires, that we can somehow do that. It's terrible metaphysics. It's a catastrophic philosophical mistake that has gigantic consequences in real life. Because if someone is taught that you can be whatever you feel, that you can make yourself into whatever you desire to be, you're living in an unreality. And so God invites us to a different way of being. I will make you. I will make you. God's in charge. He makes the moves that form us. And then, in a beautiful way, he invites us to receive our being from him. And that's what happens in the gospel. Jesus, he doesn't sit down and have a long discernment session with Peter and Andrew, with James and John. He says, come after me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. What are they? They're fishermen. What's Jesus going to do? He's going to make them fishers of men. When God comes to us, he respects our human nature, but he elevates it. He respects our human nature because there is one. He gave it to us, but he elevates it. Peter and Andrew are fishermen. Jesus says, good. It's good. But I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'll use your natural goodness, but I'm going to elevate it to its supernatural perfection. And to their great credit, they say yes. They follow him. See, that's the thing. Jesus comes. He announces the kingdom. Time is fulfilled. He announces a word of repentance to get us to live in the reality that we need him as a savior. And then he invites in a discipleship to follow him and to be made by him. All of it at the end of the day, though, hinges on human yeses. Peter and Andrew leave their nets immediately and follow. James and John leave their father and their co-workers and they follow. The yes is made. See, the yes of God is made as Jesus comes among us. And then he sets it all up so that we could say yes. The first apostles say yes, and they follow. And they begin the great adventure of what life is like living not in charge of their own lives, but in deep relationship with the one who is making them who they were created to be from all eternity. While that's not just a story for 2,000 years ago, that's for each and every one of us. Jesus has come. The time of fulfillment is now. The kingdom of God, his reign, his rule is here. It's offered to each one of us if we repent and if we follow him. Friends, with all of that in front of you, all of that, and especially the living and real person of Jesus Christ, all I can exhort you to is to say yes.